reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days for Jesus to be taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. And on the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there. But the people would not welcome him, because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked him, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and he rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. The Gospel of the Lord. If you celebrated Mass yesterday, something might sound familiar today in the readings. It's almost a repeat of yesterday. The prophet, Zechariah, says again that God has a great, he's speaking to the people, but God is through the prophet, God has a great love surprise up his sleeve, if God has sleeves. He's got a plan to save you, the prophet says. And this plan is so marvelous. It's going to happen in the most unexpected way. We know how it happened today. In the most unexpected way, and people are going to be clamoring. It's going to be like when, Black Friday, when people are at the doors and they're wanting to get in. We want in on this. And then he says they're going to be grabbing your garments, those of you with this good news, saying, we want to be part of it. When they recognize what it's about, despite any fear or anything like that. And the gospel, again, they're in the north, in Samaria, and it's a complicated thing, but the Jews and Samaritans didn't see eye to eye on many topics, including where and how to worship. And they don't welcome Jesus, it says here, because he's going to Jerusalem. For the Jews, that was the center. You always journey to Jerusalem. You make your pilgrimage every year. And the Samaritans, it's on another holy mountain or other places. Okay. Drama. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Remember, Jesus had a nickname for them. Boanerges, sons of thunder. They were hotheads. These are two guys that Jesus chose as apostles. They were hotheads. They had to control their temper. Lord, this is an insult. Do you want us to call down fire and burn them to a crisp? And look at what Luke says. Whenever you see that Jesus turns towards somebody in the Gospels, that's very intimate. It's very direct. It's like when he goes into someone's home, when he enters a boat. He's entering you and me. He turns toward them, and he rebukes them. Where else is the word rebuked used? When he casts out demons.
Wow.
And he rebukes his two apostles. You guys simmer down. It's not about revenge. It's about humility, and it's about love. And that leads us all to St. Therese. There's so much we could reflect on. We have a special devotion to her. She who is called the little flower. Why is her example so important for us today in 2019? And a relatively obscure, cloistered, Carmelite nun in a remote place in France in the 1800s, and never left the cloister. She died of tuberculosis at the age of 24 after only 9 years in Carmel. She got special permission at the age of 15 personally from Pope Leo XIII when her family was, it's a great story, her family was on pilgrimage and they got, you know, little kids, she's 15 years old. Don't address the Pope, don't touch the Pope. She couldn't control herself. She throws herself into his lap and says, "Please, Holy Father, let me enter the monastery." He says, "Well, we'll see what God wants." Well, it happened. So why is she so special? I think it's, looking here, what she calls her little way. She takes all the complications out of being in the presence of God and recognizing the presence of God. So much so, she's called a doctor of prayer, doctor of the church. Been very criticized about that, but it's very profound. Her little way. You don't base it on feelings. Feelings are fickle. They come and go. I can feel horrible and still recognize the greatness of the presence of God. You recognize the presence of God, she says, like a little child. You don't have to understand it. Just take it in. And to live by this experience. And it can be in the midst of joy. It can be in the midst of great suffering. It can be in the midst of being with other people, she tells us, that drive you nuts. There's great stories, read biographies of hers. A couple of the things. Now, there's no one alive who was alive then, but some of the things that are written, for instance, in the chapel, there were two things that drove her crazy. One was a couple of the sisters who rattled their rosaries. One was another sister who sucked on her teeth all the time. But still, she kept praying, you know, those kind of things. Our lives are full of those kind of things, aren't they? We call them quirks. They're little things that we make into big things. And this is according to a couple of biographers. One of the great stories, though, you know, she's dying of tuberculosis, and they're trying to write her biography. So they try to interview her in between moments of unconsciousness. She'd be conscious and cough up her blood and pass out, and they're trying to write it. Mother Superior's there and the others, and they finally get to asking her the great question. Therese, what happens when you pray? And according to one biographer, she's gasping for breath. I know it sounds dramatic, and it probably happened this way. She's gasping for breath. She understands the question, and very, very labored way, she says, well, I look at him, and he looks at me, and she passes out. And the nuns are like, that's it? That's the great mystery? How could it be more profound than that? What is contemplation? We look at him, and he looks at us.